Good morning. If you haven't already done so, please have a moment to be quiet. This chapter today is, well, according to Joel, the most important chapter, the most important talk he ever gave. So, put on your intuition, your spiritual discernment, and listen. This is from the 1955 Kai Lewis Study Series. It is tape number 113, and it is chapter 8, The Secret of the Healing Principle. Now, he starts with this. If the great truths revealed to the spiritual seers of all ages couldn't be conveyed to the world at large, then these seers would only be, so far as we are concerned, magicians or miracle workers with no import in our experience. But you see, the fact that there have been a dozen of these saints, or more, must indicate that in some way it is possible for us to become aware of these truths, these principles, and embody them in our experience. And if it is possible for us to embody these great truths and demonstrate them, and in some measure live them, it must be possible for all mankind. I have the transcripts here from these tapes, and the book is rather heavy, so my arm's going to get tired. Let's see if I can put it up here and read it on my computer table. Okay. It was evident to me in the beginning that the public could never accept this work. As a matter of fact, there weren't too many of my own patients or students ready or willing to see that this was a lifting of oneself into a spiritual realm, rather than bringing the spiritual realm down into making a better human experience. You see that? Very important. He is stating here that even his own students couldn't grasp that. They continued to try to pull God into the human scene. And you can't do it. It doesn't work. So, it's a matter of lifting oneself into a spiritual realm, which is why in the New Horizon it says, above the sense life is the universe of spirit. This is the unfoldment that's responsible for whatever spread of the message of the infinite way there has been. And I'm repeating it to you, not with any idea of your thinking of it in terms of the message of the infinite way, but so that you may embody in your experience and thereby meet whatever problems present themselves to you as persons. Error, and this is our study of the nature of error. Error is never a person, never a thing. It is never a condition. And so never must we handle or take into our thought a person, a thing, or a condition. It is true that error always appears as a person, or a condition, and that is what has fooled the spiritual workers of the world. That error always appears as a person or a condition or a thing. And immediately there is aroused in the individual a rebellion, a resentment, or a battle against the person, the place, the condition, and the war is lost. The longer you fight a person, a disease, a sin, or a condition, the longer you will be embroiled in what is called this world. You will be hypnotized. You remember he talked about resistance. Resist not evil. Resist not illusions. Resist not conditions, mental images. And so if you believe that there's a condition or a person, and you go to work denying the appearance or affirming truth, you will be resisting. And the order we were given was to resist not. There may be some individual or group of individuals standing between you and your harmony, and you are trying to treat them or treat for them or treat that something be done about them. In other words, you are in an agonism, in resentment, in rebellion against them, and you are directing your energies toward overcoming them or removing them or bringing them into harmony. And by doing that, you lose your demonstration. There may be some disease standing between you and harmony, and you are battling it and thereby digging a grave. He can be pretty well, he can just kind of be pretty strong at times, can he? You're digging a grave. But the secret is this. Now he's going to give you a secret, so listen within you. There is a universal force, a universal belief, a universal hypnotism, which is the source of every discord that comes into our experience. Every limitation, every sin, every temptation, every disease that comes to us is an effect of a universal power, a universal force, or a universal hypnotism, which, remember, in and of itself is not power. It's only power because of the acceptance in the human mind. If it were a power, we couldn't overcome it. If it were a power, we couldn't dispel it. But it is not a power. But to world sense, it is the only power which we have to consider in the meeting of sin, disease, death, lack, or limitation. You remember him saying, it's not a power, but it acts like a power if you accept the images. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. No person is ever dying. Now try to understand this. No person is ever dying. And if you're ever called upon to help a case of a person who seems to be near death, don't try to save their life because you will not succeed. but handle the age-old universal belief of a life apart from God, a life which had a beginning and must have an ending. Handle the universal mesmerism of death. Now, I noticed here while I was reading this that to sit down and treat a person near death and try to realize that they're not near death, that they're perfect, or whatever words you use in your meditation, is not the right way to go about this. We must lift it higher. And we do that by doing what he said, lifting it into a spiritual universe. So we don't handle the individual. We don't handle the images or the appearances. We handle the universal belief in a life apart from God. There is no such life. You see, there is a universal hypnotism which says that everybody who is born must die. And that same hypnotism says we were born, that we were created of matter, born of man and woman. Now, this is not a personal belief. This isn't just a belief of you individually. This is a universal belief that existed since time began. It is a universal belief in birth, which results in a universal belief in death. And what we're handling here is not birth or death. We're handling the universal belief, the universal hypnotism, which appears as an individual person dying. Now, he's going to teach you about the fabric of hypnotism. And so he says, close your eyes for a moment, and let's go over on Sunday afternoon to the park to hear the band, the Royal Hawaiian Band. We're standing in front of the bandstand. And there is a band up on that stand, and everyone up there has an instrument in their hands. The conductor has a baton. And now, is there a person there? No. Is there a single instrument there? No. But you're sitting looking directly at it. Yes. But they're not there. No. Well, what is there? What is the fabric of every person you're seeing up on that bandstand? Your imagination is the fabric. That's another way to approach this. I'm not looking at a person. I am looking at that universal fabric. Your imagination is the fabric. Your imagination is the substance out of which those men and those instruments are formed. In fact, your imagination is the fabric, the substance of which the whole bandstand is made. So whether now you have human men and women on that platform, metal instruments, or a wooden bandstand, the substance is all the same, imagination. There's no wood there. There's no flesh and blood there. There's no metal there. There is only imagination. Do you follow that? Can you follow that? Do you see that? Do you see that there's no flesh and blood up there? Do you see that there's no wood and no metal up there? There's only your imagination formed as men, women, wood, metal. Supposing you were dreaming right now, and you're dreaming that you're out here in the water, in the ocean, and as you look around, you find you've gone out too far, and now you can't get back, and now begins your struggle to get back. And there you are, out in this water, struggling. Is there a you? Is there water? Is there a struggle? No. What is the fabric or substance of the person you're seeing in the water? What is the fabric and substance of the water? What is the fabric and substance of the struggle? Your dream. Your dream. The dream is the substance, and you and the water and the struggle are the objects which are formed by your dream. All right, so he used imagination as fabric. He used dream as fabric. If we were to take this leather cover and make a man here, and a piano here, and the sky over here, we would still have neither man, piano, or sky. We would have leather. In the destruction of leather, there would be the destruction of the man, the piano, and the sky. In the destruction of your dream, there was the destruction of the you and the water and the struggle. And in the destruction of your imagination, there was the disappearance of the band and of the instruments and of the bandstand, right? So, whether it's imagination, whether it's dream, or whether it's leather, these things aren't here. And you're not dealing with the things, you're dealing with the fabric. Now, he says, supposing in that first case you had started out to eliminate each one of the men from the bandstand. See, that's working on individuals, on people. You'd still have been left with the instruments after a hard struggle getting rid of all of these men. Then you'd have to get to work tearing out the instruments. And after you got through with that, you'd have to tear out the bandstand. And you could have done all that by stopping your imagination in one stroke. Supposing you were dreaming of struggling in the water, and instead of crying out for someone to rescue you, you just had somebody wake you out of the dream. By the breaking up of the dream, there would be the breaking up of the you and the water, and the water and the struggle, right? So it is. The fabric of the discords of human experience is a universal hypnotism, a universal belief, or a series of universal beliefs. That's the fabric of every sense of limitation that can come into your experience, whether it's finances, limited health, limited family relationships, or human relations, or limited business, or discordant experiences. The fabric of it is this universal hypnotism. This universal belief of a universe apart from God. Alright, so you're not dealing with people. You don't have people to heal. You're not dealing with conditions. You don't have conditions to overcome. You're dealing with the belief of a universe apart from God. You're dealing with the belief in this world, in a world where God isn't. When Jesus says, I have overcome the world, he did not mean that he had overcome all the people in the world and all the evils of the people in the world, because he didn't. his ministry didn't last long enough to battle all those people. He overcame the world in one stroke by realizing that the world that needed to be overcome was made up of this mesmeric illusion, this hypnotism, and all he had to do was destroy the mesmeric illusion and all the people and all the circumstances and all the conditions of limitation disappeared. Do you follow that? So what have we seen so far? We're not dealing with individuals, we're not dealing with conditions, we're not dealing with things. We're dealing with one fabric. The whole thing is one fabric, and that fabric is universal hypnotism. Now, just see this. So far as I am personally concerned, the universal ignorance that would separate people from understanding, apprehending, demonstrating the message of the infinite way is not a personal one. It has nothing to do with their personal selves, or their education or lack of it, or their religious training or lack of it. It has to do with a universal ignorance, a universal mesmerism, which is forever without presence and without power. Do you follow that? Always your realization that you're dealing with the fabric, not the pictures that the fabric presents. The fabric itself, that is your saving grace. So, if you follow this, then your meditations are going to be different. When Peter asked you for help, sends a message out to the group and says, "Will you help me? Please lift me up." You are going to say, "Yes, I will." And then you're going to drop Peter and his condition entirely. You're going to turn your attention to the fabric that's appearing as these. And you're going to realize the fabric is universal hypnotism. And then you're going to drop that too. It has no God power, no God life, no God presence. Get thee behind me. Get thee hence. And you're going to drop it. Now you turn to God. God is omnipresence. The only presence. There's no separate universe. There's only God's kingdom. Right here, right now. It fills my consciousness. All of consciousness is God's kingdom, God's presence. Whither can I go from thy presence? Your presence fills all consciousness, and I rest in consciousness. And I wait. Father, reveal thyself. Speak, Father. I am listening. And when you feel that inner movement, your work is done. Hopefully you're seeing the change that you need to make. In other words, we never have a dying person or a diseased person. We have a state of universal hypnotism appearing as a sick, sinful, or dying or dead person. Can you follow that? We never have a bad person. We have a state of universal hypnotism or ignorance appearing as a person. The moment we realize that, the person disappears and the fabric along with him. And then we are enabled to behold them as they are. really are. That is why to get resentful of a person or condition, to resist it, to put up a mental effort, is just to mire yourself in it. To battle a person or a condition is to get embroiled in it, is to get ensnared in it. That's the trap. There's only one way to escape from the delusion of senses. There is only one way to escape evil people, evil plots, evil plans, evil in any form in the world. Whether you take the Palestinian side or the Israeli side, there's only one way to escape either of them. And that is to stop battling them and to realize that behind them is the fabric, the dream fabric of which they are constituted. It's no different than when you're dreaming at night and you wake up. Oh my God, I'm so glad that was just a dream. This is the same. This is dream substance appearing to you as the horrors of war. And to know that the dream fabric is illusory, has no actual creative principles since God did not create it, therefore it has no existence, no law to sustain it, no substance, no continuity, that destroys it. Now, we pause here and we review where we are so far. We don't have persons, conditions, things to work on. We do have the fabric of universal hypnotism to work on, or the dream, and we don't work on it. We work within to know that the dream fabric is illusory, has no creative principles since God did not create it. Therefore, it has no existence, no law to sustain it, no substance, no continuity. We work with those principles until there is an inner release, and that destroys it. Now, there is no clearer illustration than this one because it is extreme. We have no dying person. You remember he stood before his father, his dad, and he said to the father, I have no techniques which will heal this man. And he got quiet and he realized he was dealing with universal hypnotism, not with his dad. And when he realized that, he heard within himself, man shall not live by breath alone. And immediately, his dad was healed. You see, you can't hear the father's voice, the still small voice, until you resolve what it is you're looking at and come to a place of inner rest, where you're not resisting, you're not fighting. We have no dying person. We have an illusory sense of death. When we handle that, the illusory sense, the dying person jumps up and says, here I am, all fresh and new, all new and fresh, because you haven't done anything to a dying person, which didn't exist to begin with. You destroyed the fabric of the appearance, the fabric of that which was appearing. There's no other way. there is no other way of overcoming this world. So, that word fabric is so very important. Six letters. Fabric. What is the fabric? And you can start your meditation with that. Mary asked for help. Please help me. I'm suffering. And you say, I will help you. I am with you. And immediately you drop Mary. Because what is the fabric? You sit down, you close your eyes. What is the fabric? That's a very good question. Ah, yes, the fabric is the belief of a universe, a person, apart from God. And there isn't any. God never made a person. So then what I'm looking at is the fabric of universal hypnotism, the fabric of universal illusion, universal mesmerism. It's a mirage. And so you drop that too. You turn within. Father, show me thy universe. And you are still, because now you're resting. You're not fighting anything. And you can hear the still small voice. And you might hear it say, it is I. Be not afraid. And you will feel that this entire universe is I, your consciousness. You see? I hope you see. This is the secret. Joel calls it the secret of secrets. This vision came to me, he says, and behind it is every bit of healing work that was ever done in my experience. This vision came to me, this unfoldment, because of one paragraph that is in a book concerning the life of Buddha. This life of Buddha was showing the experience that came to him at that time when he still knew nothing of disease or death or any form of limitation in the world. And on his first trip out into the world, he beheld a sick man, a corpse, and a beggar. And he was horrified that such things could exist, because the life in the way his father had planned it for him, no such things were allowed to appear. So he had never witnessed any of them. And he asked his counselor, are these the only cases of this in the world? Oh, no. Everyone comes to this eventually. Well, that horrified him. That was unthinkable, that in such a beautiful universe as he knew, such conditions as disease, death, and poverty could exist. And this is the question that came into his mind, and it gave me the solution to the whole thing. I must find how to remove sin, disease, and death from the world. And that was it. He never thought about going out and healing people. He never thought of going out and reforming or enriching people. The thought that came to him was, how do you remove sin, disease, and death from the world? And if I asked you that, what would be your answer? You remove it by knowing that it's not in the world. It's in the fabric of hypnotism. This Infinite Way message is a revelation of how to remove sin, disease, and death from the world and ignorance. And this is the way. This is the way. People are only incidental to our ministry. The actual ministry itself is the removal of ignorance, sin, fear, death, limitation from the world. That's your work. Removing ignorance, sin, fear, death, and limitation from the world. And that is accomplished not by going out and getting enough money to make everybody a millionaire. Not by having enough wars to kill off enough people so that there's less to feed. But to break the entire mesmerism of limitation, ignorance, sin, fear, disease, and death. Now, you have heard me say that when I am asked for help, I never take a person or their condition into my consciousness. You remember that? You know that? This is the reason. The person and the condition is the decoy that would fool you. You just play around long enough trying to help people in conditions, and you'll find yourself up to your neck in people in conditions, and they'll always be on the erroneous side. But to really be of help to anyone, stop thinking of the person and the condition, and realize they represent only a picture, an image, an appearance of the fabric that is presenting itself to you, which is this universal belief, this universal dream. So you're not dealing with people, you're not dealing with conditions, you're not dealing with things, you're not dealing with time. You're dealing with universal hypnotism. You're dealing with a dream fabric. It's not even a real fabric. It's a dream. A dream fabric. It's called the mortal dream, the mortal mind, universal illusion. It's called by many names, universal hypnotism. It makes no difference what name you use for them, as long as you realize it is a universal sense, which in and of itself has no law to sustain it, no cause, no effect, no person, no condition. Now, we are never going to solve our individual problems any more than we are going to solve national or international problems by trying to change people, heal them, or reform them, or enrich them. And so the government's idea of pouring money into a situation to feel it, to fix it, is not going to fix it. It has to be an inner realization. We are only going to bring harmony, first of all, into our individual world by seeing every discordant person, thing, or condition as a picture produced by this illusory substance called the dream of mortal mind, or universal hypnotism. Universal belief, universal nothingness, which is appearing as people, appearing as conditions, appearing as a world without God. Never try to save a dying person. Never try to save a poor person or enrich one. Never try to heal a diseased person. Always, instantly, remember, you are not dealing with a person. You are not dealing with a condition. You are not dealing with a thing. You are dealing with a hypnotic suggestion, with a hypnotic influence, a hypnotic picture which has no existence outside of the human mind, the human belief, or human appearance. Then you will find that you destroy the fabric of which all error is made. And that's what we're here to do, destroy the fabric. Every condition of limitation, whether it is limited finances, limited health, limited morals, limited living conditions, is but the expression of a universal hypnotism, a universal illusion, a universal dream, a series of universal beliefs. The beliefs, actually, when you reduce them to individual experience, is, or are, a belief of a self apart from God. So if you see a person, you're looking at universal belief. You're looking at the fabric of hypnotism. Any person. A belief of a cause apart from God. If you see a cold or a flu epidemic or COVID-19 or 20 or 21, 22 or 23, you are looking at something that has a cause apart from God. You're looking at universal hypnotism appearing as a cause apart from God. A belief of a law apart from God. Yes. Jesus Christ stepped up to the Sea of Galilee, and he did not see the law that says you can't walk on water. He did not see the law of gravity. He just took a step and walked up to the ship. A belief of a being apart from God, a belief of a life apart from God, a substance apart from God, wisdom apart from God, knowledge, intelligence apart from God. No such thing. This whole series of beliefs put together constitutes a mesmeric influence, making us see limited persons, places, things, and conditions. This is the Adamic dream. Now, Adam fell asleep in the second chapter of Genesis, and he dreamed. He dreamed all of this world. And you have to get all the way up into the New Testament before Paul begins to talk about Adam waking up. See that? No such thing. It's a dream substance, the fabric of a dream. Every time you're called upon for the solution of a problem, see if there isn't a person involved in it. You'll find there is. And then you'll see that since God is the only creative principle, it can't be the child of God that's involved in it. God never made a person. So it can only be this belief of a self apart from God. See if every problem that comes to you doesn't come to you as a condition. Can it be a condition of God? No. Because it wouldn't then be a problem. So the mere fact that it comes as a condition shows that it is an appearance of a condition. And that's the fabric, an appearance, which has no real existence, because actually there is neither a person nor a condition apart from God. Then any appearance of such must be a part of what's called the Adam dream, or the mortal dream, or the illusory sense of existence. And Jesus called it this world. Now, when you've developed this state of consciousness where you are able to see what the fabric is, he says, you know, we would all find it very simple to meet the cases that come to us for help if we could just say, this world, and smile at it. If we could say, oh, this is just a condition of this world, the illusory world, not of the real world, not of God's world, and then drop it, you'd be surprised how quickly it would yield. But we don't do that. We go within and start battling. Oh, we use spiritual statements to do it, but we're resisting. And we're resisting the person and the condition and the thing. We're not seeing the fabric, all of it. The fabric is universal hypnotism. The same dream I have at night. The fabric of this world is a dream. All right. So, you would find that as you can get used to the idea that everything that appears in any limited sense, whether person or condition, is a part of this world, meaning the dream world, the atom world, the unreal world, and then walk on, right by it, you'd find how quickly the illusion would be broken for your patient, or your friend, or your relative. You see, the difficulty lies in this. We witness some untoward condition out there, or some evil person, and we actually accept it as taking place, which we know in our heart and souls it couldn't be if God is, if there is a God at all. If there is a God at all, there is no such thing as an illusory person or condition. There is no such thing as an evil person, place, or thing. But we first see it, and then we seek to do something about it. Is that clear? When that happens, you are hypnotized. The fabric has you by the throat. You're hypnotized. Maybe you can't breathe. It's so shocking. We first see it, and then we seek to do something about it, and thereby we are hypnotized. If we could see it and then remember, the fabric of it is the dream material, the imagination, the illusory sense of a universe apart from God, or this world, and say to ourselves, that's just this world, and then pass it by, we would break the dream. We would break the dream of limitation the minute we ourselves become dehypnotized. That's an important paragraph. If you've followed everything up to that, it tells you how to break the dream, how to break the hypnosis, how to break the mesmerism, the illusion. Now, all there is to a practitioner is a person who in some measure is dehypnotized, who in some measure is not afraid of appearances and doesn't start to fight them. That is the only difference between a practitioner and a non-practitioner, because the conditions out here are the same to both. Here is sin, disease, and death, and your non-practitioner looks at them and says, oh my God, how horrible. But your practitioner, if they've really arrived at practitioner consciousness, looks out there and says, psh, that's this world, hypnotism, nothingness. And then goes right on about their business of living. The human mind doesn't like to hear, "I can of my own self do nothing." The human mind doesn't like to hear, "Why callest thou me good? There is but one good, the Father in heaven." The human mind is set on glorifying itself. "Oh, see my strength, my wisdom, see my beauty, see my powers, my health and wealth. I did that. I did all that." If you hear a pounding in the background from time to time, that is the sound of black walnuts falling down. They land on my roof or they land on my porch, and you can hear them. And then the squirrels are all over them, tearing them apart to get to the food in the shell, the nut. There is only one thing holding back harmony from our personal experience, and that is this universal sense of life, or of a selfhood apart from God, a law apart from God. And there is only one way to break that sense, and that is to withdraw from the beliefs, from the battle. Withdraw from battling and opposing people and conditions, and withdraw inside of ourselves and say, "Ah, that's this world, that's the fabric." And then go forward with those things that you have to do next and carry them through. Seems simple, doesn't it? It takes practice. This man has been practicing this for, let's see, at this point, 1955, 9 years. Maybe even farther than that, because he started before he started teaching. He started back in, what did he say, 1928? And this is 1959. So, 22 years, 21 years, something like that. And you're going to have to practice for a while too, if you want to have the consciousness that can see through this world into reality. If you don't care and you just want to have a little supply or a better girlfriend or boyfriend, then don't bother with it. I don't know how you could, though. From the moment I touched this, I wanted all of it. All right, so God is the selfhood of every individual on the face of this globe, even when they are appearing as sick, sinful, and dying humanity. God is the selfhood. God is the life, the intelligence. God is the law of every individual on the face of this globe, even when in the mesmeric dream they appear to be sick, sinning, stupid humanity. Now, when we follow the two commandments, we can readily see, first of all of these appearances of a sick, sinning, dying, ignorant humanity are but the images of thought created by the fabric of world dream, which the Master called this world. Once we see that, we won't love these pictures any more than we'll hate them or fear them. All we will love is the reality behind these pictures. When I learned that principle and practiced it, I never had to be alone again, because I learned how to love the one in the many rather than the many in the one. And when you love the one in the many, and I mean really love it, there's nowhere you can go and not be right there with your love. I love God, the one and the many. And if I travel to Argentina and get quiet in my hotel room, I will feel God. Sometimes I feel God while on a cruise ship or in an airplane. In a jet, I have felt God at 30,000 feet. I have felt God in Mexico, Canada, Hawaii, the Bahamas, Bermuda, all across the United States. And if I go other places, I will feel God there, because God is in my consciousness. God is the one in the many. God is the one in me. God is the one in you. And I love that one. And if it appears as you, then I love that one in you. All right, I don't know how we got on that talk, on that tangent. That's the only way it really becomes possible to love this world, because you can't love the appearances that people present to you. You just can't. But if you look through what they are presenting to you, to that which they really are, that which really constitutes their being, you can't help loving everyone, whether it appears as man, woman, child, animal, or insect. You can't help it. Once you have perceived that there is an invisible soul, which is the real being of everyone, and then you look right through the appearance, you look right through their eyes, and you see the very soul of them which sits behind those eyes. I got in trouble with that when I was 22, because I had fallen head over heels in love with God in the midst of you. And I made people uncomfortable. I didn't mean to. But I had them ask me, "What are you looking for when you look in my eyes?" And you're not supposed to scare the children, so I had to correct that. Now, he says, in training yourself to look through the eyes of people and animals as you meet them, you really come automatically to where you are no longer loving, hating, or fearing the appearance world. You are, well, what Jesus called this world. You're no longer loving, hating, or fearing it. And in proportion to that, you can say, I have overcome the world. I no longer hate it, fear it, nor love it. I no longer try to get rid of it. I no longer try to light it or fight it, or battle it. I see through it and behind it. I see that which really is. I see Godhood. And I also see that which appears to be is but the images and thought, the fabric of a dream world. And he says, let's stop a moment. Now, the time will come when you will recognize that whereas there are other lessons which lift us up to cloud nine, and there are other lessons that seem to be more spiritual, more uplifting, you will know that there are other lessons you'd rather read or listen to than this one. The day will come when you will recognize you can do without all the other lessons and all the other books that are in the Infinite Way teaching, and exchange them all for this one. This is, without any question of a doubt, the not only deepest lesson of the message of the Infinite Way, it is the one I give seldom, probably not more than four times in 8 years, have I given this lesson, and even then not just in this way. But the subject of this lesson has been given to classes 4 times in 8 years, and actually, it forms the chapter, The New Horizon, which I still find no students making a serious effort, or very few students making serious efforts to understand or to demonstrate. But this is the lesson of the chapter, The New Horizon. And we're going to be looking at that later. Not today, but another day. All right, so according to Joel, this is the deepest lesson he has ever given. And it forms the New Horizon. So you should study this lesson and study the New Horizon. This is where the secret of the healing principle is hidden. He says, this is the lesson on healing. Spiritual healing has to do with the understanding of the spiritual principle of life. And that has to do with this. God is the principle of life. And God maintains and sustains this universe, including everyone in it, in absolute spiritual perfection. On the other hand, you have an appearance world, a dream world, a mesmeric world, which has no law to sustain it, no substance to sustain it, no continuity except such as that which we in our ignorance give it by not recognizing that it's constituted of this world, nothingness, a dream fabric. Once you perceive this, you will have a healing principle which will stand by you regardless of the nature of the problems that are brought to you. This principle is so absolute that given any fair opportunity with anybody at all susceptible to the spiritual life, you will bring harmony into their experience. And you will enable them to come into spiritual enlightenment, because this is the secret of all secrets. This is the secret of spiritual living. This is the secret not found in the literature of the world. That is why when you read inspirational literature, you actually end up saying, "Isn't that beautiful? It was inspiring. But I still have the same problems to face." That is the reason that the inspirational literature of the world in and of itself is not enough. Because while it will lift us up and make us receptive to the Spirit, it doesn't provide the truth necessary to our unfoldment. Now, he says, I can tell you this. No one is ever going to be able to give you the truth except the truth that the discords, limitations, and inharmonies of this world are not real. They are of the fabric of the substance which is illusion, this world, nothingness. And when you treat it that way, instead of treating individual man, woman, child, and condition, you will have the secret of overcoming this world. All right, so this is a chapter that must be studied over and over and over again until you get to the place where you really have had a transformation of consciousness and you're no longer resisting or trying to treat. People. Or conditions, or things, but instead are knowing instantly, he says, this is the fabric, dream fabric, illusory fabric, imagination fabric, mental image fabric, universal hypnotism fabric. And the entire fabric of the entire world is a dream. Now, how do I get out of that dream? First, I recognize God never made it. God never made a dream. God never made a dream person or a dream condition. Who made it? No one. It was not made. It's floating like a radio wave, and I catch it in the human mind. But it has no power. Again, you close your eyes, you build the best atomic bomb you've ever heard of, all the fusion and fission, and you throw it at the wall across the room from you. It does nothing. Imagination cannot create it. And dream substance, dream fabric, cannot create something real. It can only create a dream. And so I don't have to resist it. I don't have to fight it. I can stand still and see the revelation of God. And the inner movement takes place, and I hear the still small voice, and I behold God itself appearing. Well, it's 1 hour and 7 minutes, so I better quit. Thank you for pulling this out. This is one of my favorite all-time chapters, The Secret of the Healing Principle. I also like In Beyond Words and Thoughts, Truth Unveiled. I love that chapter. And Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe. And in The Art of Spiritual Healing, the chapter, What Did Hinder You? You take those four chapters and apply the principles you find, and you will wake up in heaven. Right here, in heaven, you will awaken to heaven around you, in you, through you, as you. I really love you. And Merry Christmas. We're getting closer and closer. 3 weeks from tomorrow. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.